This evening's scripture reading will come from Genesis 13, verses 10 through 13. Genesis 13, 10 through 13. And then Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of Jordan, and that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord.
Kind of following along with this morning's message about learning things from the Old Testament, I wanted to continue our little tradition of talking about Old Testament items and making application to today's life. I know Mickey's seen this movie, but if you've ever seen the movie Gettysburg, it's a pretty tremendous movie. If you've ever been to Gettysburg, that's really cool. I really enjoyed it. I'd like to go back. I don't know if Kara does, but I do. Anyway, there's a scene in the opening half hour of the movie where a cavalryman named J.N.O. Buford makes a decision to use his cavalry to stack up the Confederates. And he does it so that the Union Army can move in and take the high ground. It's a pretty moving speech he makes. A lot of moving speeches in that movie. But he makes a decision. And he makes a decision based on what's good for the Army and what's good for the Union. And I think we don't look enough at decisions that people make that turned out to be the right decision, to learn the good things about why that decision was a good one and how we make good decisions. Well, tonight I want to talk about Lot. And Lot made a lot of bad decisions, but he made one really good decision. So we're going to talk about that. But he made a lot of bad decisions. If we go over to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5, we see that there's this issue that comes up between Abraham and Lot. Abraham was called Abram at that time. And Abram's so successful, he and Lot, that it's starting to cause contentions between their flocks and their servants. So Abram and Lot talk. And in verse 5, now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Okay, so there's contention. Abram doesn't want contention between him and his family. He wants success. And he basically says, Lot, you choose which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. I leave the choice to you. I think, you know, it's interesting that Abram would do that. I think it showed that he trusted that God would take care of him regardless of the circumstances. Many times we make decisions based on our livelihood. We make decisions based on what's going to be good for us. And we don't look at the bigger picture. And Abram was going to cede that decision to Lot. You choose which way you want to go. So Lot chooses the plain of Jordan. It's well watered. It's a nice green land. Okay, it's a great place to raise flocks. And I'm going to go down there. It was the right choice according to business, but it was not the right choice according to principle. He made the decision for the wrong reason. It was a choice based on physical beauty rather than God's direction. So, I got to take a sidetrack. When I was in college, I had two roommates that I grew up with here in town. And I had been dating Kara for a long time, and she's beautiful, and I'm really happy I made a choice to be interested in her. But my two buddies, they were having some difficulties in the girl department, right? And we'd be sitting around the room talking, and they would be talking about girls they were interested in, and I'd say, guys, you better choose a girl that's beautiful all the way to her core, because hopefully if you're married to her 30 years from now, you're going to roll over and you're going to have to look at that face and still love her. Okay? And maybe at my immature age, I should have said, and guess what, guy? She's going to have to turn around and look at you too. Okay? You better make a choice based on something other than whether she's beautiful or not. And since then, I laugh every time I hear verses that talk about gentlemen rather living on the corner of the rooftop than with a contentious woman. I laugh at that, and I think that's funny. You know, you want to have a peaceful home life. You want to marry somebody that's got the same view of the gospel, of God, His principles, of the home, that shares the same vision with you. Mickey and McCaden, please be listening. And I don't know where Anthony is, but he's 11 years old. You better listen, too. And Andrew, you don't have to listen. you know, you want to make a decision based on something other than is she pretty or not. How many times do we see people in Hollywood that are beautiful people and they get together? Some of them don't even make it 6 months. They made the decisions based on the wrong things. Well, Lot makes a decision based on what looked good. He didn't make a decision based on what would please God, or he didn't even consult God. He didn't even ask, hey, God, what would be best for me? What would be the best solution here? He didn't even think about it. So he lifted up his eyes, saw the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord. And he chose to go that direction. That decision dominated his life the rest of his days. And sometimes we make a decision that dominates our life the rest of our days. He's going to bump into more and more trouble. Okay? So don't make a decision based on what looks good. Think about it. Pray about it. Try to understand what's going to be best in the big picture, not just for the short term. So he goes down to this valley and he's raising his flocks down there, and he ends up near the city of Sodom, a wicked and sinning city. Genesis 13:13 says, a city wicked and sinning greatly against the Lord. Sodom was not a good place. People don't say it as much as they used to, but when I was growing up, they always called Las Vegas Sin City, right? Well, back in the 90s, Las Vegas had an image problem, and they were trying to get people to come there. So they started calling it America's Playground, right? How many people have made bad decisions in Sin City, right? In Las Vegas. Now they decided, well, people aren't going to come to Vegas, so we'll just spread gambling around everywhere. And I heard a news story that gambling issues, especially in Ohio, are way up. People are dealing with the sickness that's there. But he moved in, and he was close to Sodom, and Sodom was a bad place to be. His decision to live among the cities of the plain, in Genesis 13:12, was a compromise that eroded his spiritual boundaries. So all the time he was living with Abram, okay, he was successful, so successful that there was contention between the flocks and the servants, but he had a good life. And he goes down to the plains, and he's trying to build his life there, and hey, there's the city over here. I can go live in there. A city full of sin. Okay? And again, it's a bad decision. Why did he move in there? Was it comfortable? Was there luxuries there? Was there entertainment there? I don't know. But I don't think he moved there because he thought that that was going to be a great place to get closer to God. This wasn't there. So even though Lot had lived a good life, his proximity to evil exposed him to moral corruption. So he's drifting, okay? He's made a bad decision. Now he's drifting even further off the beam. So he starts getting involved with more compromise and a gradual moral decline. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. For all the land which you see, that's not what I want. Genesis 13, verse 5. Sorry, let's go back to that one for a minute. Genesis 13, verse 5. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them. So he moves on and from that wealth, but maybe he wants more. So if we go down to verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or to the right, I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes, saw the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, it's foreshadowing. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they were separated. Abraham settled in Canaan, and Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. So it didn't take him 10 minutes to start moving towards Sodom. And, you know, verse 13, now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. Lot, his prosperity from Adam's wealth led him to seek more wealth and independence, prompting him to leave Abram. This was a compromise of loyalty and trust. Later in Genesis 14, he's captured by the king of Sodom. And after Abraham's rescue, he's returned to Sodom. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14, verses 12 through 16. Then they also took Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of the Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. So he's moved down towards Sodom. He gets taken captive. Abram has to come and rescue him. Okay? You know, you'd think, okay, well, I was living here and this bad stuff happened. You'd think, I probably shouldn't go back there. But what's he do? He goes right back. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley. And then we talk about Melchizedek and some other things. But if we go down further, the king of Sodom wants to make a deal with Abram. And Abram says to the king, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear that you would say, I have made Abram rich. Abram's not putting up with what's going on in Sodom. Okay? Abram knows what's going on there, and he's wise enough to say in verse 24, I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. So Abram doesn't want to deal with these people. But Lot, he continues to get involved with them. All right? So every step that he makes is a small concession to worldly gain or convenience, which over time weakens him further and further. So let's go over to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, you know, judgment day is coming for Sodom because of all their sin. And God's going to wipe it off the face of the earth. And he sends angels to the city to warn Lot and get him out of there. In verse 1, now, the two angels came to Sodom on the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. He knew who they were. He understood who they were. And those angels were coming for a purpose. They were going to tell Lot to flee. But what, again, Lot does stupid stuff. Okay, if we go down to verse 15. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away into the punishment of the city. But he hesitated. You know, I like home as much as anybody else, but you got angels of the Lord telling you to get out of Dodge, and you hesitate, okay? I really don't understand Lot's thinking mechanism. He hesitated. So the men seized his hand, and the hands of his wife, and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. The angels just, okay, I'm done with this. Grab and go. They're taking him outside the city, right? And only because God had compassion on them were they taken out. So in verse 17, when they had brought them outside, one said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. I'm telling you what you need to do. Get out of here, okay? But Lot says, oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. He starts making excuses. This is what you need to do. Get out of here. So they let him go to a little town called Zoar. And, you know, his life is saved, but he, again, he makes decisions that are wackitudinal. Oh no, my Lord, now behold your servant. He recognizes who they are and what they've done for him, but he hesitates. Wackitudinal, look that up in the dictionary. Yeah, okay. Okay. So Lot is saved. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. But that's not the end of Lot's bad decisions. In Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 and following, Lot's daughters are despondent because they're afraid they're not going to be able to have children to carry on the family line. And so they decide to get their father drunk and have relationships with him. One on one night, the other on the next night. You might say, well, you know, they got him drunk. It wasn't his decision. It was his decision to drink wine and get drunk. Okay? He made a bad decision. And because of that, Israel had to deal with the Moabites and the Ammonites for years to come, because that's who came out of that union. Again, he made a really stupid, bad decision. I don't understand Lot's thinking. But I do understand this. The Bible says that Lot was righteous. Okay. You move to a bad city. You put up with the sin that was there. You hesitated to follow the Lord's commands. And you ended up having family with family you shouldn't have family with. I'll just say it that way, okay? There are young ears in the audience. Stupid stuff. But yet, he's still called righteous. It doesn't mean sinless, okay? We talked about this with our class on Job. But it refers to one who's in a covenant loyalty to God, aligned with his standards, and vindicated by him. This righteousness is by faith, not by flawless behavior, and is often credited to God's grace. Lot had a relationship with God. Not only was he Abraham's nephew, he shared his faith and worship in Genesis 12:4 and Genesis 13:4. He was part of the covenant community, which meant he stood under God's blessing and protection. Even though he made poor decisions, choosing to live near Sodom, hesitating to flee when warned, and later committing sin with his daughters, he remained in God's favor because he was in a covenant relationship. While Lot's story records many failures, there are actions and attitudes that did show that he had faith and that he had moral alignment. In Genesis 19, he showed hospitality. He invited the two angels to come into his home. In Genesis 19, 6 through 8, he had a moral compass. He refused to let the mob of men come in and try to have relations with the angels, even offering his daughters to them, which I can't imagine doing, but he was with holy angels, so I guess one took priority over the other. He showed that he valued God's people above the city's sin. He showed obedience to God's warning. Even though he hesitated, he did flee Sodom when he was told to leave. And he had inner distress over Sodom's wickedness. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says, "His righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds he saw and heard," indicating that he had a conscience aligned with God's standards. So even though he made a lot of bad decisions, he still had a mind and a heart towards God. God spared Lot because he found him righteous. So when I look at this, it gives me a lot of hope. I can make dumb decisions and still be loved by God. And when I look at, you know, Romans 3:23 that says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I know that he sent his son to die on a cross for me and for you, I know that God can put up with our dumb decisions if we will make the right and faithful decision to obey him for towards salvation. I know that I don't have to be smart. I have to be faithful. Smart helps, okay, but I can be faithful, and that's what's important. I know that whatever I've done in my past, that God can put that away and put that behind us, and I can walk with him. You know, there's a lot of things that Lot did that I would find very troubling, but God was able to make it right with him. So Lot's bad choices were rooted in prioritizing appearance, wealth, and convenience over God's word and his people. His story warns that even a righteous man can be led astray by compromise, and that God's mercy can rescue, but it cannot undo damage of poor decisions. Sometimes we have to live with those, but God gives us a way to cope with poor decisions. And most importantly, he gives us hope that we can go to heaven and live eternally with him. This evening, maybe you've made some poor decisions and you need prayers on dealing with those. Or maybe you want to make the best decision, and that's to commit your life to God through baptism into Christ. If you want your sins washed away and you want to be a new creature, we would love to help you out this evening. Please come while we stand and sing.